You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, to serve Thee. We thank, Lord, of those around the country who at this time are suffering with the coronavirus. We pray, Lord, Your healing hand be upon them and Thy will. And we, Lord, we pray as this message goes out that it will be an encouragement to those around the world in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, here we are, right in the thick of the coronavirus days. And we'll probably remember this for the rest of our life as being a kind of an unusual time. And we don't really know where this is going to lead. We don't know how many people are going to suffer and finally die through this pandemic. And we've got lots of questions. I've got lots of questions which I think need to be answered, and hopefully with time they will be. Up here I've actually got some snippets that I made concerning a new topic that I'm putting out. So I thought I'd just point this out to you. So there is this topic which relates to the mysteries of the book of Acts. And a lot of people, they say, well, you know, because Paul talks about a mystery or mysteries in various contexts, that means that the revelation of this tremendous mystery which was given in Colossians and Ephesians is the same thing. And this series of snippets basically addresses that. Now, to address it in all its fullness, of course, it's a huge topic. But nonetheless, I think if you go through these slides, you'll really get to see the real basic issue of what's going on. And I think they will be very instructive to you. And especially this one here. We mentioned this last time, which was this mystery in 1 Corinthians 1:27. So just while it's there, I want to point this out to you, and then we'll carry on with our Genesis study. So 1 Corinthians, if we were to go there, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, you get tremendous insight into where Paul is leading us. Now, one thing about the Acts period epistles is it gives us a good idea of how much long-suffering we as pastors and ministers and people who are interested in helping others should have. Because, man, this Corinthian assembly, man, it had all kinds of problems. But Paul didn't throw the towel in, not at all. He stuck with it. And so in 1 Corinthians 1, it talks a lot about, you know, unity. And, you know, people are saying, well, I am of Peter and I am of Apollos. And I am of Paul. And he then goes on and he says, is Christ divided? You see, is Christ? Well, of course, he's not divided. Was Paul crucified for you? You see, he's addressing people who were in the congregation who would be on his side, as it were. But in fact, they were not. If they were saying, I am of Paul, well, in fact, no. You would not be on Paul's side in truth, because Paul's ministry was to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this time, you can see that there is this Christ-centered wisdom that Paul is trying to bring forward to people. He says this in verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, that is, the message that was preached, to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And he then goes on, and it says in verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. So there is a special wisdom of God which Paul was bringing out, which relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you go down a little further, it says this in verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You see, the topic is those who were perceived as being wise, and contrasting that with the wisdom of God. Now, as you go on, this does not stop. This topic of wisdom keeps coming on. It says in this verse, in verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Big verse, important verse. Verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Man, can you see where Paul is taking this? You see, later on, he's going to talk about a very special wisdom which was hid in a mystery. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But wait a minute. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is not something new to the testimony of Scripture, prophetical Scriptures. Not at all. Prophetical Scriptures talked about the coming of Messiah and Him being crucified. And it goes on and it says this. And it says, And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. No, no. None of that. None of this rhetoric. Wow, the Greeks were great with rhetoric. They specialized in it. They had special people who were chretos. Chretos. That is, people who are great in words. And they specialize in it and they got good with it. But Paul says, no, no, that's not what I'm here about. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. When Paul came, he came with a demonstration of the spiritual power. He came with signs and wonders. That's what was a part of his early ministry. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, which was both spiritual and was evidenced with spiritual signs and wonders. How about we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Now he's coming to the high and mighty, the princes. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Oh yeah. So what's this wisdom that he's talking about? This wisdom that he's talking about is Christ and all that that ministry would bring forth. If you look at some of my slides here, it talks a lot about this, right? And the most important thing about this wisdom is, as he's pointing out here, it pertains to Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, and that sacrificial ministry that he brought when he came and what it meant. So you have the same idea that I brought up last time, where we're walking along the beach, as it were, and we have, you know, a certain cross section, if you like, of the beach, and the waves come in and they go out again, and you might see something shiny looking down as you walk. And there is this coin, okay? It might be a gold coin. You only see that which has been exposed. But beneath, wow, that is being covered. And your eyes would be attracted to it. But what we need is we need to bend down and pick it up and pull it out of the sand, wash it off, and say, yeah, that's what this thing is. This truly is a gold coin that is worth a whole lot. Man, that's very valuable. But you don't see that at the beginning. That's like a lot of what you find concerning Jesus Christ and his sacrificial ministry. It is like a coin which has been buried, needs some sort of inspired apostle to bring it out and show, oh yeah, this is the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ and him crucified, and the depth of what that means in terms of redemption, salvation, and our separateness from the world and the hope that is with us. And as you read down, it says this. It says in verse 11, For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The things that are freely given to us of God. In the context of 1 Corinthians, it means understanding Messiah and his sacrificial ministry. What are the depths of these things? It says this, verse 13, Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You can compare the Scriptures, man, and from those with the Spirit of God, you understand the deep things. The coin is pulled out of the sand and you see the great fullness of what that means. And that needs the Spirit of God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's right. So when you come to 1 Corinthians, and you read in chapter 2, in verse 7, you're not reading about the great revelation of the mystery given to Paul the prisoner, which was hid in God and kept away from the Scriptures of the prophets. No, in no way. This thing here is different. The mystery given to Paul the prisoner is totally separate and different to these things that we read here, as great and mighty as they are. If you go back to Romans chapter 16, for example, just to point this out, this is something that is not just found in 1 Corinthians 2, this idea and principle. Look at this, Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, yeah, my gospel, that's something special, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the Scriptures of the prophets. You see, this is another neat thing that you need to see with this. Okay, if you go, oh, sorry, I'm just going to go backwards a little bit here. And this is the passage that we have, which we are reading. Here it is here, Romans 16, 25, and I've colored in that last verse, but now is made manifest and by the Scriptures of the prophets. Now, when it says Scriptures of the prophets, where it says prophets here, it actually in the Greek text is an adjective. It is an adjective. In fact, you can see it here, prophetikon. That there is prophetical. And see, graphon, what's graph? Well, graph is, you know, graphite. That's the sort of stuff you use in a pencil or something, right? Graphite, you write with it. Okay, so prophetical Scriptures, but now made manifest, and also through prophetical Scriptures, through prophetical Scriptures. Yes, you need two things. You need the Spirit of God and a divinely inspired apostle, and then you need spiritual with spiritual, right? You need Scriptures. You need the prophetical Scriptures. Why, this revelation of a mystery was silenced in age time. Yeah, it was silenced. It was hidden down. It was hidden down there. It was just a little bit revealing inside the prophetical Scriptures. But now, because this has been made manifest, that is taking you right back to Adam and showing everybody's need in Adam and the solution in Christ. That's the mystery that's given here, which is brought out in the central position of this great epistle, which I've put in here, the prophetical Scriptures. Right here, this is the central portion of it, right? That's it. This is the mystery of Romans 16, taking you right back to Adam, his introduction of death by sin and the solution in Christ. Yeah, man, cool, rock and roll, man. People try to tell me that the mystery of Colossians and Ephesians was revealed in the book of Acts. Sorry, man, no way, Jose. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So what I'm going to do next is I am going to bring you across to my slides, which are for today. Truth for today. Okay, cool. So we are on Genesis, and we're up to part 49, believe it or not. Oh man, part 49. Isn't that amazing how fast time goes by? And we've been looking at the days of Noah and showing you that there's a lot of important things about Paul's ministry which relates to this. And we saw in Luke 21, verses 5 through 12, you can see in there what was going on with the circumcision epistles written by James. Written by Peter and John. You can see what's going on there. And I also gave some examples of what's going on. For example, during this this great days of Noah, the long suffering, is repeated during the book of Acts. So there's some interesting importation of ideas that come back from the days of Noah. So if you look at the days of Noah and then the time which is the Acts, you see a great parallel between these two things. Because a great long suffering was going on, which waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing. And then over here, what you've got is the time when it's possible. It's possible that the Lord Jesus Christ would return. And during this time, Paul was raised up, right? Paul was raised up, a man who was born out of due time, man. And here he is, being brought all sorts of revelation by the ascended Christ. Many, many things which relate to secret purposes. We read about these mysteries which I've been going through and which you can look up in these snippets, man. You can find all these mysteries which relate to this time of great long suffering, where it was possible that Christ could return if a condition was fulfilled. That is, if Israel would repent. During this time, Paul is writing epistles. And so the days of Noah have this kind of relevance here. So when we read back in Genesis, we're reading about things which have pictures, which are repeated again in the book of Acts. So look at 1 Corinthians 5:5. Let's just have a look at this one. Last time we looked at the judgment scene of Christ and how that makes sense on the return of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 5 says this: therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, until the Lord come. Oh, so his aspect, the aspect which is being shown and brought forth here, is that this is nearby, man, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. You see, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And man, you'd have to be very spirit-filled and depending on the will of God and depending on God to be able to see through those times. And he's saying, don't worry, man, because he's near and he's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Look at Colossians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29. Look at this. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. How can you take this instruction and put it to a person today? You cannot do that. If you take this out of its context of the days of Noah, if you take it out of the context of the long suffering of God and the possible return of Jesus with the repentance of Israel, then this makes sense. It'll make sense if you put it into that context. But if you take it out of that context and try and put it to a person today, you're in trouble, man. Oh, man, are you in trouble. And you're going to put people into trouble. A lot of difficulties. So we find these passages where it's mentioned. Look at this, 1 Peter 3:20. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Interesting thing about this, that this whole context of the days of Noah is that there is the judgment that comes on the world because of the advent of the angels and their influence on the world. But the angels come back later on and also after that. You see, the angels come again. And if you look at what happens at the time of the coming of the Son of Man, you get angelic activity. And then after that, there's going to be also angelic activity. Near the end of the millennium, there's going to be this tremendous judgment that comes on the world again. There's great symmetry in the Bible, my friends. Tremendous stuff going on. In 2 Peter 2:5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Yeah. We have that preacher of righteousness. Now, I put this up here because I'm just looking at this whole idea of this capacity for restraint in the face of provocation. And God is like that. He's long-suffering. He's doing this. And it's just interesting that you note that Peter talks about this wisdom that was given unto Paul. You keep connecting these ideas, because they're worthy to be connected. Peter talks about this wisdom that was given unto Paul. And he had wrote this unto the Hebrews. And he says also in all his epistles, speaking of them, of these things, of which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Yet therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Notice that Peter addresses the revelations given to Paul during the book of Acts, and they're during a time of great long suffering, and they relate to tremendous wisdom, which he admits are things hard to be understood. Now, of course, during this time, these mysteries were given, and we've read about it. Peter says this, he says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Okay, so there's a good answer in conscience towards God. He says, the like figure, a picture, the like figure wherein even baptism doth also now save us. Baptism doth now save us. And then he says, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the picture would be incomplete if all you said, if all you put down here and all you took away was the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. So the figure now saves us, talking to the Jews, talking to the nation of Israel. But it doesn't stop there, does it? He talks about the fact that it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. And then he tells us how the salvation comes by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I think this is a critical thing, and many people stumble on this verse. And I can understand why, right? Because they come to these passages and they do not want to put it into its national perspective. There is a corporate perspective here, a national perspective. Peter was a minister of the circumcision, and he dealt with this whole idea of washings and what they pictured. Now, it says that this baptism is this like figure that which he mentions. And what I want you to do is look at this tremendous passage which comes from the book of Acts. And I quickly mentioned it last time, Acts 2:38. Let's go through it. I just want to show you this and make sure you understand the significance of this idea that we are bringing to you, and that is of right division. Okay? Right division. We need direction. If we don't get direction in life, we're going to be walking around like headless chickens. You ever seen that done? Oh, man. We used to have chickens at home, and my dad, he just basically said, well, we'll keep these chickens around the place and collect the eggs, and when they get a bit numerous, well, then we'll turn them into meat. You know, that's what happened. But, of course, what happened was we kept on putting that turning into meat off. You know? And so what would happen is, they would every, you know, couple of weeks, there'd be a new batch of eggs that we didn't find, and suddenly, tweet, 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 out comes all these chicks. And so there's chicks, 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 and they keep swelling the numbers. And soon, we're walking down the path here, and there's just a swarm of flock of these chickens everywhere. And then one day, Dad just says, that's it, we've had enough. It's kill day. Out comes the 44-gallon drums, and feed the chickens in the garage and pull the roller door down, and out comes the machetes, and there goes the business. And there they are, running around headless. How do I get onto that? Well, I'm just saying that when it comes to right division, I'm saying you need to get direction. And in the Bible, the instruction is that you should rightly divide the word of truth. And inside a division, you find, of course, this idea of us cutting. And so you cut things and you get a division. So there's a dividing line, man. There's a dividing line. Now, one thing you can see is that Paul, okay, he's certainly the apostle to the Gentiles. But wait, is that good enough? Not quite, man, because you see, what you find is that he has two ministries. So you say, oh, I'm with Paul. Are you really? Well, Paul says, don't say that. In the book of Acts, he says that, right? I am of Paul. Was Paul crucified for you, was he? Sorry, that's not going to work. So what you need to do is, you need to say, well, what was his ministry during the book of Acts? Well, during the book of Acts, it was to the Jews. To the Jew first. And what was he doing? He was a minister of the new covenant. Oh man, he says that to the Corinthians. He was a minister of the new covenant. And who was given the new covenant? The Jews. Jeremiah 31, 31. Hebrews chapter 8. All of these here, my friends, tell you that he was ministering during this time to Israel, their hope. So that's Acts. Then after that, his ministry goes to the Gentiles, where what you find is he's been given the mystery from prison. There is a prison ministry. And he's not going to Israel. He talks about uniquely the Gentiles, man. The Gentiles. What are you, man? What are you? Are you a Gentile? What are you? Well, if you're a Gentile, you're going to come to Paul, but that's not good enough. What you need to do is understand that you must rightly divide Paul's writings. You see, there are seven epistles written during the Acts and seven epistles written after the Acts. And you've got to get to understand that indeed there is a perfection that comes to this revelation, a perfection. There's a perfection in the book of Acts too. But that has to do with Israel. Okay, so right division is going to help us out a lot. When we come to Peter, look what he says. Have a look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Let me ask you, my friends, if someone asks you that question today, what are you going to say? Now, be honest. What are you going to say? Oh, well, what you got to do here is you got to repent and you got to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that what you are going to say to someone, my friend? If you do that, if you say that, when a person earnestly comes to you, what do we do in order that salvation comes? Then you're going to tell them a lie. Now, you say, but it's in the Bible. Yeah. So is bringing a lamb to the sacrifice, right? A real lamb. There was a temple. There were the laws. They were all types and figures. Well, what does Peter say? He says, yeah, this is a figure. And that they are saved by the resurrection of Jesus. And he says here in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Look across to chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When is this remission going to come? And who is he talking to? He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The remission of sins he's talking about as a corporate one, which relates to the nation of Israel. Why are you going to go to this passage where Peter is addressing the nation of Israel and is showing this figure, when he already has told and said to the Hebrews and brought out the fact that the business of being forgiven comes through the death, the burial, and resurrection? This is a picture. This is one of the great pictures, corporate pictures, that Israel had to be involved with. And this is what he was preaching. If you look across at some of the other passages where for the remission of sins is given, look at this. Eis Ephesin Hamation, towards the remission of sins. Go over here. This is in Mark 1:4. Towards the remission of sins. Toward the remission of sins. And then in Acts 2:38. Let's just quickly look at this passage in Matthew 26. Have a look at it. Matthew chapter 26. Oh, man. This book is so cool. It is just the coolest thing. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28 says this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. See that, for the remission of sins? That's the eis ephesin hamation. Towards the remission of sins. Same thing that's said by Peter down here. Eis ephesin hamation. The like figure wherein baptism doth save us. How, Peter? How is it done? Well, first of all, it's a figure. By the resurrection of Jesus. By the resurrection of Jesus. Down here, look at Mark 1:4. Let's look at that one. Matthew, Mark. Notice it's a New Testament thing. It's a teaching about the blood. Go across here to Mark 1:4. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this that you need to get together with the scriptures and make sure you're consistent with the Bible rightly divided. That's what you need to do. Mark 1 and verse 4 says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. There was this corporate picture, this baptism that John brought forward, picturing and showing something for the remission of sins, towards the remission of sins. What actually took their sins away? What would actually do it? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, which in the context, why did Peter say by the resurrection of Christ instead of simply the death? Well, if he's resurrected, it means he did die, right? He was resurrected from death. The point about the resurrection is it validates the truthfulness of what Jesus did. If he died, well, okay, lots of people die. But have you seen anyone walk after death, right? So the resurrection is the validation of the truthfulness and completeness of his atoning sacrifice. So this is cool, right? And you can find this again in Luke 3:3. Okay, so this figure is mentioned. And Peter majored on this because he was a minister of the circumcision. Are you part of the circumcision? Are you living in the time of the days of Noah? Are you there trying to get under the umbrella of the nation of Israel? Are you eating the crumbs on the table? Is that what you're doing? Because that's not what I'm going to do. I'm sorry, man. I know that there was a special ministry given to Paul the prisoner. And that's the food that I want, man. I want myself a nice steak. You know? Oh, man. That nice restaurant out there at the Brickyard. Ooh, steaks, man. Thick as. You wait for this beautiful steak and they bring it out and your knife, you don't have to put any pressure on the knife. The thing just goes, and poof, there it is. Juicy, beautiful steak, man. Mark 16, and that's what I want. Mark 16, look at this, verse 16. Well, let's read from verse 14. Notice in your King James Bible, these things often come in handy. The paragraph mark, right? The paragraph mark. Have a look at it. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now, a lot of people want to say these passages are not supposed to be in your Bible. Well, I'm afraid, my friends, they're wrong. And even if you could justify such nonsense, the thing is these things are already repeated in other places in the Bible. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said unto them, okay, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, wait a minute. Gospel is good news. There's lots of good news, man. We've got some special gospel news, which we preach and which Paul preached, who told us to preach, which is not this message. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, man. Wait a minute. The Lord Jesus Christ again is using the picture book. He wants Israel to be involved with the picture book. He wants the nations also to be identified with him. Look what he says. He says here, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Man, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, man. That's the ministry that was to go on during the book of Acts. You had some corporal baptism where people would be identified with Messiah. There would be signs and wonders going on. But first, there had to be this ministry to Israel where they would repent and they would be active as the salt of the earth, the kingdom of priests, man, going out. Rock and roll, friends, rock and roll. Now, what I'm saying to you is, if you rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to come up with some fantastic things that enable you to keep out of the way of very, very false doctrine. There are people in this world who will come to you and tell you have to do all sorts of things to be saved. But I want to show you something very clearly that Paul tells us. This is in Ephesians 2. So when we want to find out what Paul has to say to us in this age, we can easily find it. Look in Ephesians chapter number 2. He says this. It says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, wait a minute. Do you see a kind of an order here? You see, first of all, there is salvation by grace, and it's a gift. That comes first. Number one, that comes first. Then what comes next? Well, then comes, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, right? Unto good works. The order is delineated for us. Absolutely delineated. You know, these things are so clear, aren't they? If you go across to the book of Colossians, let me just show you something else. This is in Colossians chapter number 1. And it says this in verse 25. Whereof, Colossians 1:25. Well, where's this epistle? Colossians. Prison epistle. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation, the oikonomia, the rules of the household, the stewardship. See, I've got a pretty good name there, steward. Stewardship of God, which is given to me for you to fill up the word of God. You want to know what fills the word of God to the full? When you've got to get into the revelation of the mystery. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This great hope. Now look down in Colossians 2. Look what it says. It says this, verse 10. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. Complete. Wow. You're complete. In whom also you are circumcised. Whoa, wait a minute. The Jews reveled in circumcision. They tried to put people under circumcision. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, man, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You see, there was a picture book. Yes, there was a like figure wherein baptism doth also save us, does now save us. And then he goes on, by the resurrection of the dead. Peter says that. Yeah, but look what he says here. Buried with him in baptism. Oh, here it is. When also ye are risen with him through, how? The faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Oh, okay. So we get identified with Christ, and it's done by God. It's through the faith of the operation of God. Yeah, that's it.
That's the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's the one baptism, my friend, and it's done by God. He is the surgeon, man. He's doing an operation. Operation. There it is. A beautiful message. Now, man, what do you want? People get annoyed with this message of right division, yet all right division does to you is give you things. You don't like receiving? You don't like your Christmas. You know, Santa comes down the chimney and he gives you, here you go. And you say, nah, don't want that. Well, man, I've got something way better than Santa Claus, man. We've got something real here. And we have got something which is done by the operation of God on us. We are liberated, man. We are given freedom. Liberated. So we can live a life before God in fruitfulness and in understanding with our brains intact. Man, that's what we need. Well, that's all I've got for you today. Well, there's more here, but you know, we're out of time. So come back, same bat time, same bat channel. Rock and roll, man. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today for this message. We thank Thee, our Father, for the liberty we have in Christ and all that Thou hast given us in the Scriptures of truth. We thank Thee, Lord, that there is this fullness that comes our way, and that the revelation that was given to Paul, the great dispensation of God, which was given to Paul, was also given for us. And we feel this fullness as we go through this great meal. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.